Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I am joined by someone who has gotten quite sick within the space of 60 minutes? He was fine a second ago, and now he is just a walking ball of phlegm and mess. Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation. Hello, Oliver Davis. I was a bit bunged up during the actual recording of this show. You'll hear, listeners, I'm a bit sniffly during the... I think we were talking about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And I was afraid that it was going to be a big just wad of snot that was going to fall out of my face during the recording, which is why I had to go blow my nose before we did the final bit.
You can look forward to that.
Okay. I will apologise now because there is a little bit of snuffling from me.
We were half an hour in. It was going fine. I had no idea you were feeling bad.
Yeah.
And then like a huge snot sound happened. Twice you apologised, then we wrapped that bit up quick.
Yeah.
You'll notice how that discussion ends quite quickly so Luke could take care of himself.
I was going to go record my weekend video today, and I just, before we came in to record this podcast intro, I just said to Ollie, oh, actually, let's see how we get on.
Yeah.
Because I may not want to present my weekend video sounding like this.
So let's try and get through the reviews rather quickly so Luke can recuperate to get back to Swaft level.
Swaft style. King Swaft of Swaft status. Style.
So it's me, Jackie G writes, so Swaft. I love Wrestle Ramble, been here since the first one, and it's so easy and enjoyable to listen to. I start work at 6 a.m. and this podcast gets me through the early hours of the day. Makes me feel less uncool for being such a big wrestling mark. Finally getting my girlfriend into wrestling, and I'm now going to try and get her into the podcast. Keep up the great work. Thumbs up emoji.
Cheers, Jackie G.
Cheers.
Thumbs up back to you.
Cheers, it's me, Jackie G. Oh, getting a lead. That could help the numbers.
Yes.
We could get up to, I don't want to be so bold to say a 96.5% split.
Yeah.
That's of the men. So that's what, 3.5%? That would be a great target, but I'm not going to be ambitious. I'm going to say 3.3.
Okay. We've all got things to aim for.
Yeah, we're at 3% at the moment.
Yeah.
So, we'll aim for that. That can be our New Year's resolution next year. Well, it's the drive to five first. And Zen Dave writes, good crack. Which is an Irish expression for just stuff that's, that's good chat, that's good banter, it's a good thing that's happening.
He's not talking about the drug.
No, not the class A drug.
And saying that it's a good version of that.
And they write, if you're looking for well-humoured, fun and insightful wrestling chat, look no further. Ollie and Luke know their stuff and deliver it to your ears in a fun, inventive, casual manner. Bags of laughs, minor cross-dressing, hilarity ensues on a regular basis. Cannot recommend this podcast enough. 5 stars!
Cheers, Zen
Thank
Dave.
Thank you, Zen Dave. I like that as a tagline.
Yeah?
Just like a disclaimer, minor cross-dressing.
Yeah.
Actually, that sounds like we're making children cross-dress.
Well,
So maybe we shouldn't have that.
I feel that if we had a poster, like if we were to go to a convention or something and have our own little stall, and we were like, we're putting up review quotes, I would have hilarity ensues on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's good. And consistent.
Yes.
That would be right at the top of the movie poster.
Yeah.
Consistent. And not any of these 5-star reviews, but that one guy who gave us a 4-star review.
Or that 1-star review, lad.
No, fair enough. You did a 1-star review. But it's a binary system, this. It's either a 1-star or a 5-star review. Who leaves a 4-star review? Let's get on with the show. Well, we're going to find out the question on every member of the SWAFT Nation's lips. How is Captain Luke?
Captain Luke and Brother Owen are fine, I believe. I haven't actually spoken to them since the video went up, but they appear to be doing okay.
Yeah, went down well.
Yes.
But they're not meant to get over.
Well, actually, in fact, I got quite a few messages from people yesterday on Twitter. Thank you to everyone who did get in touch to say, like, the problem was you were too good at it. And it's meant to be a crap gimmick with a crap promo. And what you did was cut a half-decent promo with a quite good gimmick.
Yeah, a lot of people like the pet the dog in the submission line.
Yep.
And, we'll see you in the hallway. Push-ups were a good one.
Oh, sorry, the sit-ups. You could tell I don't go to the gym. Which I actually have to give credit to you. That was your idea.
Well, I wasn't involved in this.
Well, the sit-up.
I never even met them.
sit-up was your call.
So that was, of course, Luke's punishment for losing the Wrestle Ramble War of last month.
Mm-hmm.
I am already ahead in this month.
Yes, you are.
Because I won the Fantasy Booking Warfare of Kurt Angle's return. And we're going to do another Fantasy Booking Warfare this weekend.
Yes, we are, indeed.
Which is...
Did we decide?
It's Pete Dunne's...
Oh, yes, that's
main
right!
...main roster debut, how we would book him.
Yes, his, like, first run. We've had a couple of other suggestions from people, like, booking Gargano Ciampa.
Oh, my God, we can't do that. Because it's Survivor Series.
What do you
We've got to do predictions for Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah, well, we've got to do that as well. Yeah.
So the next one. So the week after that.
Yeah.
That'll be the Fantasy Booking Warfare. Got ahead of myself.
As if Survivor Series this weekend.
Yeah.
It's the really?
It's the go-home shows tonight and tomorrow.
No.
Yeah.
Crikey.
And that means, even more importantly, it's NXT TakeOver whatever, Houston?
Yeah, Houston. Yeah. I'm going to say Houston.
On Saturday, which will be a
show. I genuinely forgot the Survivor Series was this weekend.
Mm.
And I was literally just watching Survivor Series 1998, so you'd think it would be on my brain, but no. And I was at home watching Survivor Series 2001, so you'd think that it's that's all I've got on my mind at the moment. Still forgot.
So we went to some wrestling shows
last weekend.
We went to two. Same promotion, Revolution Pro Wrestling. Global Wars. Global Wars, Night 1 and Night 2. Holy moly, we had a good time.
Certainly, didn't we, Jess? Mm. We were a little bit merry on the second night.
The Friday got more merry than the first.
Yeah, I blame that mostly on you. Or at least partly. Well, because I was told the plan was that we were going to meet in the pub earlier and have some food before we went there. That's not what happened, though. We got to the pub, had a pint, and then went.
Well, you see, this is a SWAFT Nation. Let's get an insight on how Luke reads some emails and WhatsApp messages. It's he'll look at it, not read it, get the impression of what he thinks a message says if it's too long, and then just act on that information. Even though all the information is there. We had a long talk about how we're not going to make that time anymore.
So oh, there was like 25 messages, though. Like, that's hard to get through,
honestly.
That.
Honestly. And you told me off for getting the wrong shirt for your wedding because I did the exact same thing. Not
that
reading that
was
stuff.
Different, though, because I also told you that in studio, in person.
I still refute that ever happened. So we had a really good night. Best match. A terrific match between Keith Lee and Tomohiro Ishii.
Do you know what's funny? So on the second night, we were chatting to some of your friends about the first night we went to on the Thursday. And he was like, I'm just really amazed that like the first night had Naito versus Skrull. And it had a main event with Zack Sabre Jr. and Will Ospreay and Minoru Suzuki. But all everyone is talking about is Ishii versus Keith Lee. And I was like, mate, that's because it's one of the best things I've ever seen. Mm. It was a stunning match.
I've never seen Keith Lee live before, and he's big.
He is a refrigerator of a man.
He's a large guy, and he does things that smaller guys do, like second rope moonsaults and leapfrogs.
It was just incredible. Yeah. I'm like, he's my new favourite like wrestler in the entire world.
Yeah, he's awesome. But we will be doing a full review of that in the next WrestleTalk magazine issue. I'll write up a review and it will have a little scannable barcode that will take you to a little exclusive video like this where you can watch a full like Rev Pro review.
We're going to talk about... We're talking about both nights or just night one?
We'll talk about both nights.
Yeah.
Go cray-cray.
Go cray-cray. We've got two Minoru Suzuki matches to talk about.
I can't remember a great deal of the second night, but I'm sure bits will come back to me.
Yeah.
We both had trouble getting home. I was 15 minutes. It was a 15-minute walk from my house. And like, it took me 2 hours.
I don't know how.
My girlfriend had to send me an Uber to get me home.
It still baffles me how you got lost. Like,
I don't know.
Because I live...
I wasn't that drunk.
I was about an hour away from... from door to door. Actually, maybe like an hour and 20 minutes. Mm. From, like, the venue back to my front door. And all I had to do was get two trains. I just get to the Victoria line from Walthamstow Central to Oxford Circus, jump on the Central
where
line.
I live.
Well, I didn't need the flat number.
That's fine now.
But again, then get on the Central line back to my hometown. I'm not going to see what mine is.
Mm.
And that's fine. That's dead easy. Stopped off, got a little bit of takeaway food, which was actually quite delicious, but also disgusting because it was takeaway burger food. And then I fell asleep on the tube and I woke up in Brixton. So confused because someone literally woke me up to say, like, you've got to get off here.
Oh, wow. You were that guy.
So I was like, oh, God, I've got to get off here. So I jumped off.
Covered in vomit on your shirt.
So I jumped off. And then like my brain was taking a little while to kind of kick back into gear, trying to work out where I was. And I was like, huh, why have I gone past where I need to be? And then it just took me ages to realise. And then actually, I didn't even realise I was at Brixton until about 5 minutes later. I thought, I should actually just check what station I'm at. And I then realised I was at Brixton. I was like, where the hell's Brixton?
And who then knows what you did? Because you sleepwalk. You could have done loads of an all number of things around London.
It could have done like many back and forths, and I wouldn't have known because like it's just one straight line, but with about 10 stops. So anyway, I fell asleep. Then I had to get back to Oxford Circus, and I fell asleep a little bit again on the Central line coming home. Woke up in North Holt, and then I think my train was actually going through to where it needed to be. But I thought because I'd already fallen asleep once, I just jumped off the train.
Don't risk it.
I was about 2 stops early, had to wait for another train. I didn't get home until gone 2 a.m.
Yeah, which is when I got home. But my trip should have taken 20% of the overall time yours did.
Yeah.
Should we get on to everyone's new favourite segment, Great Balls of Botch? Do you want to take this correction?
Absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, I think we can probably drop this one now. Mm. It was the Submission Sorority was the group that Paige, Charlotte and Becky Lynch was in. I honestly am baffled that people care this much to correct us on this because it was an awful storyline, an awful time. But yet people are very dedicated to correcting us on this.
People like Paige. And this is probably the week of Paige's return.
She might be back today.
Yeah. Apparently she was in town in Atlanta on Sunday night. So by the time you're watching this, Paige might be back on the main roster. But we got it wrong though.
Yeah, we got it wrong. Absolutely.
Oh, I've got the mailbag. Oh, it's so big. That is a big bag of mail.
Riley Reid joke.
Who is that person? Last time you made a Riley Reid reference, whoever that is, loads of people in the comments got excited.
Yeah, a lot of people thought it was humorous.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who weren't excited. Actually, my favourite one was someone made a comment which was just like, I couldn't quite hear you. You either said Riley Reid, who is who I was actually referring to, or I think it was someone called like Miley Reid, who is a flautist famous for playing a very large flute.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, ayo, and... Both kind of have like similar as a Venn diagram. They're sort of both in the centre.
You should probably not Google it.
especially if you're at work.
Yeah, if you're curious as to who the person Luke says, and I don't know who it is, you should probably not Google it until you're home,
If you're 18 or below, or actually no, if you're below 18, don't do it.
Let's move on to the mailbag. Yeah. So Phil Stopford, Britain's next top model, Phil Stopford, has got in touch. He's one of our Patreon backers, which means his question goes right to the fast track. He asks, what are your all-time three top favourite and least favourite moments? OMG moments, I suppose, from watching wrestling. For example, Brock ending Taker's streak, the Stone Cold beer bath, Jericho's name being on the list of KO, that sort of thing. Doesn't, of course, have to be from WWE. Although...
all of mine are.
Pretty much all of ours are.
I can't really think... I was trying to think of some TNA ones, but I can't really think of any big TNA, like, OMG, apart from, like, Raven winning the championship at one of their early pay-per-views.
Kurt Angle's debut. The Samoa Joe stare down where they just
headbutted
each other.
I suppose you're right. The Kurt Angle debut in particular, because I actually watched that pay-per-view live. Mm. And that reaction, well, I mean, you didn't even get to hear the reaction, but I remember going onto YouTube afterwards and there were people who'd uploaded videos of like everyone just going like ballistic in the impact zone. When people cared about TNA.
I guess to just as like a roll call for non-WWE stuff that hasn't made it in. Also, the moment Kenny Omega faints...
yeah.
In the Rainmaker from Okada in their second match this year. But that always seems too soon, doesn't it? Stuff from this year, I didn't put in the list of KO stuff.
No.
Because I feel like it's, you know, I want to give it a few years to fester to become my all-time top three favourite. But one that was so close to getting in there was back when Kevin Owens wrestled as Kevin Steen for Ring of Honor. And he was exiled from the company for a year in storyline, but kind of seemingly in real life as well, because Jim Cornette had the book then. But then he came back and El Generico, the former Sami Zayn's trainer, hadn't been seen for a long time either. And at the end of the pay-per-view, after I think Steen had beaten Davey Richards, he gets delivered a box, he's celebrating, he gets delivered a box, he opens it, and he just lifts out this El Generico mask. And the crowd go insane. For a mask. It was a beautiful piece of storytelling, but that gives me chills when I think about it. Do you want to do one by one?
Yeah,
I haven't got this in any order.
No, neither have I, to be honest. Let's go one by one.
So one best and then one worst.
Yeah.
So I'll start off. I have run into... and this isn't exhaustive. It's tough making lists, because I could wake up tomorrow and I'd have three different things.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, again, the caveat is a lot of these we wrote down just before we came in here.
But I've got my first one here as Shawn Michaels... saying I love you in the Ric Flair retirement match from WrestleMania.
Great moment.
Yeah, he's tuning up the band in the corner, and he's so torn because the storyline building up into this was Ric Flair had all those matches and each match his career was on the line, and now you sort of knew it was going to happen. Everyone knew it was going to happen. See, predictability doesn't have to be a bad thing. Sometimes it's what makes sense. And Shawn is sort of conflicted. He doesn't want to retire. He's hero. But he also can't like give his hero a free pass because he's like student, master, father, son.
And you've also got Ric Flair standing up. Essentially, Ric Flair has accepted that he's lost this match and that Michaels is going to hit him. And it was almost like, it's almost Ric Flair saying, just do it.
Yeah, like,
just
come
do it.
On.
Just do it and get it over with.
And Shawn Michaels stops tuning up the band for a moment, looks at him and says, I'm sorry, I love, like mouths it, you don't hear it. Yeah. I'm sorry, I love you. And then he hits the super kick and it's done.
A great moment.
Some people, I mean, I watched that live and I actually, you know, maybe. I was cutting onions at the time.
Oh, yeah, making a lasagna.
I was making a lasagna and it had been raining
on my face.
And I just got a bit of moisture. I don't know what it was. Sweat, eye sweat.
Yeah.
And I then read around, see what other people thought. And some people thought it was hokey.
Yeah, I remember that at the time as well. I was a big user of the smartmarks.com. Shout out to my TSM brothers. And there was a lot of people on there at the time. It was very much a 50-50 split. A lot of people going like, that was one of the best moments ever. And a lot of people going like, that was a very bit of a hokey moment. Now, what I think, particularly on the message board that I was on, because I was part of that, I was a bit hokey.
Oh, were you?
And the only reason, I'm quite happy to admit this now, it's because back during this timeline, I was drinking the TNA Kool-Aid so hard that I just, any time that WWE did something good, I was just like, no, stupid though, isn't it? Stupid, it's just TNA did something much better on Impact last week.
Mm.
So I was drinking the Kool-Aid so much that I couldn't accept it as a great moment.
Until Ric Flair went there. And half.
And I was like, yeah, guys, he retired with you, but he wants to wrestle for TNA. I think by that point, I was starting to lose interest in the company.
He's ending his career where he should, in TNA.
In TNA, in front of at least 250 people.
So what's your best you've got here?
Well, my first one, and this was like...
You've written a few.
Yeah, I've got more than I needed to.
You need to cut one off here.
Well, one of them kind of ties into the other, though.
Okay.
So one of the biggest, like, OMG moments I remember from, like, my youth of watching wrestling was Austin's heel turn at WrestleMania X7. I was 17. And I just remember the time it was him siding with Vince McMahon and just being like, oh, man. And it's a brilliant moment. It's a wonderfully told story, particularly because you've got Paul Heyman on commentary just doing a fantastic sell job of it, where it's just like Austin sold his soul to the devil himself for the WWF Championship. And you've got Jim Ross next to him, incensed, being like, why, Steve, why? Oh, it's so great. Gives me chills just thinking about it. And then his subsequent heel turn that he did a couple of months later, because he turned babyface for about a week or so during the invasion angle, when he turned on Team WWF to let Team Alliance, WCW and ECW win.
And you're cool with that? This is one of your favourite.
Well, no,
ones,
but again, of like when I say like favourite moments, because neither of them really
shocking moments.
Yeah, it's a shocking moment to me.
Oh, I see.
And like, and it was a time that I think back to when I was a teenager, a young teenager watching wrestling, and I was just super hardcore into it. Mm. And just these moments that made me and my friends go like, "Oh my god, what is happening?" So that's why it's one of my go-to moments for like OMG moments. Doesn't work in storyline, like in things like that, but still.
So not to sort of belittle your choice here, but one of them is when that arguably drove away a lot of wrestling fans, and what many people signal as the end of the Attitude Era, when Austin turned heel.
Absolutely.
Turned a lot of people off, because they're like, Austin was the guy they never wanted to see turn heel.
Yep.
And the next bit is when Austin turned heel at Invasion, making it more of a WWE versus WWE thing rather than the proper interpromotional war everyone wants. Fine.
I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm just saying that in terms of like those OMG moments from my youth, those are the two that kind of spring to mind. Not saying they're good for business.
Well, that's a good segue into the worst then. My first worst pick is the moment that legitimately got me out of wrestling for a few years. Because you know everyone has that lapsed period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people do.
Yeah, for me it was Raven being fired.
Yeah, it's a shame that it happened then, because SmackDown was about to go on to have one of the best periods of its existence. Stephanie McMahon's dog storyline.
Now it's interesting because you've written this down. A, I have no recollection of this, and I wonder if I'd tuned out before this point. Mm. But I must have tuned in. I must have been for this, because I remember tuning out after the brand split. Because I remember the brand split happening, and I was like, this is a bit of shit now.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was in March 2002. I just had the year of my life as a wrestling fan with the Invasion storyline. I did not know what was happening.
Invasion storyline that drove people away? Yeah, that was the time
of
your life, right?
All right, okay.
Don't want to belittle your point or anything.
But then I remember having this argument with a friend at school called David Allen, and he was always about... He loved the wrestling in the ring. Like, he didn't care about... He said, like, if anything, the stories... he could do without the stories. He just wants to see the wrestling. And I likened that at the time. Well, it's like saying, you know, art's the favourite thing about your comic books. And he goes, yeah, it is. I was like, oh, we're fighting different points here. So I like the writing of the comic books. You know, the art's cool, but it's the writing. Similar to wrestling, I do really love the stories. Sometimes, these days, they're kind of neck and neck. But back in the day, it was all about the stories. And the stories after the Invasion, I felt, were getting bad. And just they were getting progressively worse in my views as a young fan. And then Stephanie McMahon and Triple H were going through a divorce, and
she was siding with Jericho.
Yeah, and it was all kind of like revolving around the dog in the divorce. And I was like, what is this? I'm too, at that time, this is me talking back in the day, I'm too old for this now, because I kind of, everyone else had kind of moved on from wrestling. And I was like, I'm done. I'm going to talk to girls. I'm going to go out and do that.
How did that work out for you?
Not well back then. yes, that's my one. Worst for you?
Worst. I'll skip that one because that kind of ties into the other one. In fact, I've only... Oh, no, I have got three. Actually, I suppose this does tie into it. So the ending of Survivor Series 2001.
Mm.
And that's actually because, like, as I've mentioned earlier, I've recently rewatched this pay-per-view because it came second in our Patreon poll. So I was like, I didn't get to review it, but I feel like I'm going to watch it anyway because I've got a bit of time on my hands. So I watched, I was working from home on Friday, so I thought I'll watch Survivor Series 2001. And it was kind of sort of struck me then when I was watching it that the last, like, 80% of that main event are WWF guys. It's Rock, Jericho, Kane, Undertaker, and Big Show as Team WWF versus Austin, Kurt Angle, Shane McMahon, Booker T, and Rob Van Dam. Mm. Like, those last two there are the only outsiders in this 10-person match. And the last four guys are Rock, Jericho, Angle, and Austin, who would go on to then be the four at Vengeance 2001 when they're doing the one-night tournaments to crown an undisputed champion. And I was just sort of looking at it being like, what a disappointment. Like,
What happened?
Yeah, like, exactly. It's like, this fell off a cliff very, very quickly. And, yeah, it's just like, I mean, even at the time, I remember thinking, this is a particularly lame ending.
Mm.
Because there were just so many, like, defections. There were never defections from the Alliance side really to the WWF side. They had, like, Taz had been excluded from Team Alliance, but he was never really given another home to go to. So it was never, like, a big jump to the other side. It was always just WWF guys who were heels anyway, just siding with the other heels. Mm. And it was just a bit naff, a bit lame, and, yeah, a bit rubbish.
Yeah, it was, well, it's widely criticised as one of the worst.
Mm.
No, it's the most disappointing, so much potential.
Exactly. It's a shame we didn't get to that as a Patreon poll, but we do get to do a better Survivor Series, in my opinion.
Back to best. In fact, I'm just going to say, I didn't go. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do two best moments because they really are. I'm bumping Shane McMahon buying WCW on the Nitro under Vince. And I'm going to go my last two as CM Punk's pipe bomb promo and CM Punk's 2011 Money in the Bank win.
Yeah.
Those are two of my all-time favourite memories, not just of wrestling, but, like, of life.
Yeah.
Like, move aside, lady partner. That's what I think of when I go to bed at night.
I mean, you and I talked about this extensively on the Patreon-exclusive podcast about how much that win, like, not so much meant to me, but just, like, how I reacted to it at the time. There's very few times where I would mark out with a buddy of mine and, man, what a moment. Like, I was just drunken, shouting at the TV. What a great night of wrestling it was.
And that pipe bomb promo sort of ties into the dog, Stephanie McMahon's dog storyline. It got me back into, like, I was a wrestling fan, but I was on the ropes, especially for WWE. And then Punk happened, and I was back in through to now, you know? So no Punk pipe bomb, no Wrestle Talk Ollie Davis.
Apparently not. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's always that.
What about you?
Now we're actually going to talk about a moment that was really great.
Mm.
And that was the very first TLC match at SummerSlam 2000. And then the second one, TLC 2, at WrestleMania X7.
Mm.
As just matches where you're just watching it and, like, every other movie, you're like, never seen this before. I've never seen this before. I can't believe they're going to do this next. Just absolutely stunning. And actually, you know, the ladder match that they had at WrestleMania 2000 was equally as great. Like, that as a trilogy of matches, so great.
Mm.
Like, really, really awesome. And I think, if memory serves, the same team won all three times.
Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching it on a DVD because I didn't have the pay-per-views at the time. It would be like 4 months later when I got the DVD I could watch it. And just being like, this is the match I try and do in No Mercy.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. This is unbelievable.
Well, a friend of mine had recorded it, so he had it on VHS, WrestleMania 2000.
Mm.
And we were just sort of like watching through the pay-per-view. And that ladder match, I hadn't seen the rest of WrestleMania 2000, like, for quite some time, because I was just so blown away by that match. Mm. We either stopped watching it, started watching the tape to go and, like, play video
games.
Take
a breather, man.
But, like, it was almost like the Keith Lee Ishii match. Like, at the time, I was like, gotta go have a cigarette. Like, I've got to take a break so I can have a cigarette from this. And it's the same with both those TLC matches. Just absolutely stunning stuff. And, you know, you hear the stories now, which kind of, not so much taint them a little bit, but you hear that apparently a lot of it was very much backstage. Michael Hayes kind of going up to all of them and saying, like, you jump off that damn ladder. Saying, like, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to be in trouble. But still, they really did like define the modern day ladder match in WWE. And man, like, and not even just WWE, outside of wrestling, like outside of WWE, sorry, just great stuff.
I did too. So you do your final,
my final one. So yeah, it's Brock ending the streak.
Wow!
Like me and my friend, my best man, just like jumping out of our seats, and it was so funny. I think I've told the story before, but my lady partner, my wife now, was there to watch the event, and she just kept saying like, "Well, that big guy's winning, right? Because I mean, look at him; he's clearly winning this." Mm-hmm. And the way that the video package beforehand definitely said that he's winning, and me and my friend were there going like, "No, you don't understand." Like, it's the Undertaker at WrestleMania. He always wins at WrestleMania. That's just the way it goes. And this is just another big win for Undertaker. And then, yeah, I was the Undertaker guy at the end of that match. Just wide-eyed, mouth aghast. And just being like, and I remember listening to the Wrestling Observer radio reports afterwards. And you had Brian Alvarez, like, there live. And you had Dave Meltzer watching it on TV. And I think you had Mike Sempervive kind of, like, moderating the two, talking about it. And Brian Alvarez was talking, like, there were so many people in the arena that thought it was a botch, that Taker was meant to kick out. Because if you go back and watch it, they don't play Brock's music immediately. There's the three count, and then there's a lot of silence, which is clearly set up by WWE to kind of, like, to get that moment. But, yeah, there were so many people there that were just like, I think Taker was meant to kick out. It was so good.
It's like one of the in my sort of adult fanhood of wrestling, that was the first time where I was 100% convinced something was going to happen and the complete opposite happened.
You got swerved.
And ever since I've been like, I can't, like, that's my, don't say this is going to happen because that one thing happened back then.
What you don't want to be is like, if this is going to be probably very much a UK based reference, but it's a reference that you and I will very much appreciate. If you ever watched The Apprentice, one thing you do when you're The Apprentice is don't say you're an expert in something when you're going to do that task. So if it's like, if it's selling toys and your business is selling toys, never say like, I'm an expert in selling toys, because you will fail on that task.
Yeah, and then you'll get fired.
And then you'll get fired.
You'll be project manager and you'll be fired.
Because you'll put yourself forward as project manager being like, this is my area of expertise. I'm definitely going to win this task. And then you'll always fail.
So we've got to quickly move on to the next question. So I'm just going to run through my two other worst bits. I mean, they kind of are quite obvious. Rey Mysterio's number 30 entrance in the 2013 Royal Rumble, when everyone wanted it to be Daniel Bryan from earlier in the night.
See, the thing is for me, is like, I never thought Bryan was coming out for the Rumble because he'd wrestled earlier in the night. So
Reigns did it.
Yeah, well, that was a few years later, though. But like, on this night, I remember being like, when Rey got booed, and then you hear the reports being like, everyone thought it was going to be Daniel Bryan. I remember at the time being like, why? Like, Bryan already had his match earlier on.
Well, it showed that, I mean, it was the wrong decision.
Oh, totally.
Where decision. They went afterwards, but I guess Punk leaving had a lot to do with that. But yeah, that one. And
him being eliminated the following year.
And Nexus SummerSlam. There, you know, that you could have made a lot of future upper mid main eventers there. And you made, who's the only guy? Heath Slater is the only guy left wrestling for the company. And that was all John Cena's fault in this instance. They were defeated with 2-1 advantage. And yeah, you botched one of the most engaging storylines of recent times.
Yeah, and I'll end off with my last two as well, just to make sure these are my definite last two. They are. Tying into sort of like another great OMG moment was Stone Cold Steve Austin being run over. And then the reveal, spoilers, if you are not aware of this storyline, it was a big year-long storyline, the culmination of this storyline. Turned out that it was Rikishi that was the man that ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin, because he did it for The Rock. And sort of in storyline, it kind of made sense. Problem was, is that what you did with Rikishi after that was he just got completely victimized by Stone Cold Steve Austin in his first match back, where there wasn't actually a pinfall. It was just Austin just beat him up, took him outside, and tried to run him over. And then there were just cops involved and all this sort of gubbins. And then his second match, he loses to The Rock. So you're like, okay, great. Well, that's not really a way to make a main eventer. Or like, you've clearly done this to create a new main eventer out of Rikishi, but you just have him beat twice. And well, actually, we'll come on to that when we talk about Austin Aries shortly. But yeah, so I mean, it was a real, like, real kick in the teeth. And it was like, Rikishi being the guy to be revealed wasn't a great payoff. Shocking, But at the same time, I was like, yeah, wish it had been something better. And the other one is probably too long to really get into, but it's Chaz's domestic abuse storyline, because it's very tasteless. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, just Google it. It's also involves beaver cleavage.
Google that, but don't Google the Riley Reid. Don't Google.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Next up, we have from Hard as Nails, Nick Schiff, also via Patreon. Should the WWE be worried about the unrest and frustration brewing in the locker room? They have lost great talent in Neville and Aries, and it felt the WWE did not even seem to put up a fight to try and keep them. Now Sammy and Owens were sent home on a big European tour, and these are two men, I feel, you cannot afford to lose. It feels like there isn't a proper leader to rally the troops.
There is no, well, there really isn't a locker room leader. Now that Taker's gone and Cena's barely there.
And Roman Reigns is out sick. Apparently he's the current locker
room. Yeah, I was going to say, you certainly can't look to Randy Orton because he clearly doesn't care.
Yeah.
You see all these interactions with Kevin Owens?
Yeah,
Lead story on today's news?
Yes, of course it is. We did the old sad music montage. Kevin Owens thought he was safe. The rest of the WWE roster are across the seas. He was fine. He was safe.
Very nice.
But not when Randy Orton's lurking in Twitter.
Nope.
Austin Aries did a podcast with Talk Is Jericho, Chris Jericho's podcast, and he explained WWE let him go.
Yeah.
So that wasn't an example of unrest and frustration. They were like, "Oh, you've got a few nagging injuries. We don't have anything for you."
I think from Aries, because I only listened to like the start of the episode, and I'm kind of like, just I was listening to it on the way here, and he was talking about how he was, you know, positioned as a babyface despite the fact that he's a better heel, or he likes working heel better anyway. And he said the first four things I did as a babyface was lose. I lost to Neville four times, so. Like, really, at that point, there's no stock left in me as a babyface. And that seems like a real frustration. And then him saying, like, cool, well, I mean, you clearly don't believe in me as a babyface, which is fine, because Neville as a heel is on such a roll at the moment, it's not the right time to take the title off of him. But if I've lost four times as a babyface, there's nought left for me in that role. So put me back on commentary, put me back in NXT, turn me heel. Make me a manager. Mm. And he like presented a lot of these ideas to them, and WWE was just like, "Nah, you got some nagging injuries. Off you go. Go sell your book."
It's a shame because he really was very good as a commentator.
Yeah, it was great.
In those cruiserweight matches the weeks before, or the months, I suppose, he debuted on Raw competitively. And I thought he was getting a kind of... he seemed to be someone that Vince McMahon liked, just because the whole banana thing, you know, they shared a similar humour. Mm. Austin Aries was a lot better at executing that humour.
Yeah.
But, it does make Aries' final WWE moment very interesting, though. I can't remember what pay-per-view it was. Probably Backlash.
Yeah, probably.
Payback.
Yeah.
Or Extreme Rules. It was Extreme Rules. And Neville wins. Aries is on the outside, and he's just sitting on the ring apron, grinning. And at the time, everyone was like, oh, he's going to turn heel like as some crazy Joker character. Because I think he had some blood in his teeth as well. It was a good visual. But then, he was probably grinning because he knew where this was going and he was getting released.
Yeah. And the Neville one, I think that's a really big loss and a real shame, because Neville was so good. He had, you know, one of his best years ever in WWE. But a real shame that he was gone. So should WWE be worried about this unrest and frustration, Oliver Davis?
If you're bringing it back to the original question,
yes.
Great work.
You're welcome.
I think yes, because your biggest stars right now, not biggest stars, but there's... You've got WWE stars, right? The ones that WWE love. Your Cena, your Reigns, your Orton, your Baron Corbin. People they've made and they're very much invested in. But then you've got this other tier of people who are arguably more talented, definitely in ring work wise, a lot of them promo wise as well, and significantly moreover with at least the very passionate side of the fan base, who are only allowed to get to a certain level, and then they start to get fizzled out by booking and a few losses here and not very good programs.
Mini pushes,
yeah. I'd say, actually, AJ Styles is now in the WWE bracket, because they obviously, he's done fantastically, which is weird, because I thought he would be in this one. And these people, you know, they're like Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Cesaro.
Neville.
Neville's a good example as well. Samoa Joe. Like, if you know, all those people who you would not be surprised at going, oh yeah, they could go back to the indies and make quite a nice living for themselves. And ever since Cody has done so well on the independents, and Drew McIntyre kind of paved that way as well before him, although his decision to leave WWE wasn't his own, Cody's was. Cody actively asked for his release. Now that, and Aries is making more money on the independents, reportedly, seeing how much success they've had outside with an easier schedule, more creative freedom, they get to work the style they like to work, which is non-WWE style, more of a stiffer, harder striking thing. They can have the critical applause of the 5-star matches from Dave Meltzer and that rapturous fan base. They probably get a bigger cut on their own merchandise sales. So many opportunities outside of WWE. But that's only really been proven practically in the last 6 months by Cody falling in with the Bullet Club and getting that really big push outside it. And if a few of these names were to leave WWE and make a big deal of themselves outside, Daniel Bryan is probably the biggest of those, and ruling out a CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, WWE should be worried about that, because this is that they are creating this unrest and frustration with this sort of weird mentality of that tier of guys only giving them so much and then pulling out. It's like a rubbish girlfriend, right? And you're like, oh, I want us to be together and exclusive, and you know, we can move in together. And WWE's like, okay, today I am really into you. I am really into you. And then the next day, you don't hear from her for 3 days. This isn't based on real life at all. I'm not drawing from real life scenarios. But and if those names do go somewhere else, WWE's going to be that crazy ex-girlfriend of, no, I was going out with you.
Yeah.
And they'll be really angry about it. And it is to their detriment, because these are the people who will be the stars of the future and have so much potential to get over and make you money.
Yeah, I mean, WWE, they have a mentality which is just like, we have handpicked these certain guys to be our guys. And if you're not one of those guys, then there's only so far that you can get. And it's funny as well, because when they always put together the Monday Night War documentaries, or they talk about WCW, they always say, like, WCW's biggest problem is they never made new stars. They just always kept younger guys down and kept the same guys on top. And these are WWE-produced products. We're like, yeah, how stupid would WCW not letting guys like Jericho be a champion? Idiots. And it's like, yeah, you did the same thing. And you're still doing the same thing now. So, yeah, it's I do agree that they should be worried. But at the same time, sorry, if I'm sniffing a lot, I've got a cold at the moment.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know, really badly. I do apologise. I should have, like, cover up my microphone when I was trying to sniff. But they do have this kind of, like, great crop of talent that are apparently, you know, are on the outs. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are booked for SmackDown and apparently will be there on Tuesday. But at the same time, you look at NXT and you've got, like, man, there's, like, a whole host of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn that can just be replaced with like that. We can just pick two guys out of there and they could just replace them quite easily. And maybe that's WWE's mentality at the moment. It's just like, you guys are all easily replaceable.
Yeah, I guess so. But there's only so many of those you can lose when it starts to become a problem if Ring of Honor and New Japan are sweeping them all up and you are losing that fan base. And finally, some news that broke yesterday on Sunday and is, of course, in the WrestleTalk news today. Triple H will be facing Jinder Mahal in India. I think it's in New Delhi, which is the 9th of December
date.
The
9th show, yeah.
Yeah. So the cool thing about this is it implies Jinder doesn't need the championship belt to be in on the India tour because he's got a Triple H championship belt as the draw, which means maybe AJ's going to keep the title. And this was something you were very worried about. This was a lot of the content of your very good video over the weekend about how WWE botched Jinder's title reign. And you're worried AJ would be a paper champion. Does this alleviate your fears?
There is still the 8th date.
Mm-hmm.
So there is still a chance that they may announce a Jinder Mahal championship match with AJ, and then he'll defend that championship against Triple H on the 9th. So there is always that chance, but it doesn't...
Or he loses it on SmackDown and faces Triple H as the champion.
Yeah.
And Triple H can win.
He could be champion again.
Yeah, in India.
In India.
That's what India wants.
Yeah, he's their babyface hero over there. Yeah. I mean, it does alleviate some of my worries, yeah. I mean, as I said last week, and I said it in the video, and I said it on the Wrestle Ramble, perhaps I was just being very pessimistic, but my belief, as you know, this whole year has told us, is that we're building Jinder as WWE champion for the India tour because that's a very important thing for us. Maybe it just feels like, I mean, Jinder says this on Instagram that this is not the case, but if this really is, maybe they have just given up on this Jinder experiment and just given up on the India experiment because apparently the ticket sales are very, very poor.
Yeah, don't ever count out Vince McMahon changing all the plans based on his mood that morning.
Yeah.
We weren't behind the Jinder experiment.
We were at the start.
We were interested.
I was certainly at least interested at the start because I'm like, you're building a new star. Mm. That's a good thing.
You've done it terribly, but we're interested that you've taken this awfully calculated punt.
Yes.
Yeah. But it didn't pan out. The most interesting part of this for me is the original plan, of course, was for Jinder Mahal to face Brock Lesnar with John Cena in the special guest referee spot. Dave Meltzer has now confirmed on Wrestling Observer newsletter that match was to set up a Cena versus Mahal match down the line, possibly at a Rumble, possibly at a WrestleMania. So now he's not involved in that, and AJ's the champion, and John Cena is on Team SmackDown. Are you now building towards Styles Cena 3? Possibly at Royal Rumble, the anniversary of their fantastic, it was a 5-star match, according to Meltzer, in January of this year.
Yeah.
And this time AJ gets the win.
And maybe you're doing that because you've got the Omega Jericho match at Wrestle Kingdom and you want to try and build more buzz around Styles Cena 3 than Omega Okada. Mm.
Yeah, there's so many bits that play into it.
Yeah, although, I mean, again, that's speculation.
The Jericho announcement happened on the Sunday. The latest plans seem to have changed just 4 days before on a Thursday, so I don't know if the timeline fits.
Well, I really did fall apart a little bit towards the end of that show.
Yeah, I don't want you to look at me in the face.
No, well...
Because I feel like I'm getting iller by looking in your eyes.
It was weird because, like, obviously I came into the studio a little bit late today because I thought I'd work from home a little bit this morning. I was still up at 5:30, still up at the ass crack of dawn, so I could crack a whistle work and do the washing up and stuff. And my girlfriend's not very well at the moment. My wife.
No.
She's not very well at the moment either. And I thought, I was like, oh, I really should tell Ollie that I'm not well.
I'm actually going to move away from
it. And then we walked into the studio where we record the Wrestle Ramble and I thought, uh-oh, we're in a very confined space. We've got the door fully shut. It gets very hot in here. I might actually pass this on.
Yeah. I mean, the benefit for me over the last year is I rarely get sick anyway, and that is helped by my
mushroom tea.
All the weird things I put into my body, and the fact that I pretty much worked alone for a year on just making videos in this studio. And that meant no one could give me illnesses. I drove, so I wasn't on public transport to get it either. It was only if my girlfriend got sick, maybe like 5% of those times, she gets it a lot, I'd get that. But now this is the first time you've been sick, and I don't want to be sick.
No, this is uncharted waters. I very rarely get sick, and this is like the first time that it's happened to this degree in quite some time. I don't know what happened.
I'm gonna force feed you oranges all tomorrow. No more oranges. Shut up, Luke. Stuff another one in your face.
Have a damn orange.
Okay, so let's do some iTunes reviews. When I say that in the outro, I mean, if that was me listening to the podcast, if I heard that, that's the moment I switch off.
Yeah.
So I hope people stick around.
Something to Wrestle, when he's just like, let's go over the poll for what the next episode is. That's where I'm like, I'm out.
Oh, but they tend to have some good chat within the poll.
Yeah, I know, but those episodes are like 4 hours long. I've got a backlog. I've got to get through these things. And I'm not like you. I can't listen to things on double speed.
I've started listening to a podcast that I can't listen to on double speed because they talk too quickly in the first place. So I imagine if someone listened to us on double speed, they'd find it quite difficult. They're 1.3 speed. It kills me. Mr. GQ London writes, top show. This podcast is lit.
Yes,
London. Mr. GQ London.
Yeah, we are fire emoji.
Lit. That feels like a Mauro Ranallo pop culture thing.
Yep, that is actually how a lot of people have described my wife in the YouTube comments. Yes,
and using thick with two C's.
Yep, using fire emojis all over the show. It's actually become a bit of a running joke now in my in-laws' household, and I'm with my sister-in-law. They think it's hilarious.
And Matt CGW 316 or 316. Probably 316.
Come on now.
I was on the tube yesterday.
Yeah.
No, I was on the tube. It doesn't matter when I was on the tube. That's not an important detail. What matters, it was Saturday though. Now I remember. Is that?
And see, if people skip these reviews, miss all this top quality banter.
Just opposite me on the seating was a little postcard that said 316. I was like, Is this a wrestling thing or is this a religious thing? It's very hard to know. So maybe this could just, by coincidence, be a religious thing.
Mm.
So maybe it is. I would still be 316, though, in verse form. They write, best wrestling podcast out there. Subscribing to the Wrestle Ramble on iTunes was the best decision I've made in a long time. I look forward to Luke and Ollie talking about wrestling more than I do the wrestling itself. I listen to it on the way to uni, when I'm going to bed, or at any possible time I can. Keep up the amazing work, you guys. Hashtag Swaft. Hashtag Push Luke.
Thanks, Matt. That's a good call on that last hashtag.
Maybe he's the guy that wrote the thing on your Jenga brick.
I think it was Grev that did it.
Do you want to explain what that is?
Yeah, so at my wedding, we did... Yeah, let's spend more time in here when I need to go blow my nose. At my wedding, rather than do a traditional guest book, we got a Jenga tower that people could just write on with a Sharpie. Other pens are available. And we were going through them yesterday while we were at my in-laws, and I found three that I assumed had come from Ollie. One of which I knew had come from you because you had written your name on it.
Giveaway.
You had written the wedding hashtag on it and then made the funny quip, hashtags work on Jenga blocks, right?
Mm.
Great stuff. But then there was another one that was hashtag push Luke and I fancy Kevin, which is my father-in-law. And because you had gotten on so well with him, I assumed that you had written that.
No, that wasn't me. Did you see a giant penis on any of the Jenga blocks?
Yeah, various giant penises.
Oh, okay. I only saw none of them were me.
No,
but I know who the perpetrator of one of them was.
Well, I know that one of them was on...
It was Kevin.
Okay. I knew that one of them was my best man because it was also on his blog.
Yes, it was. It was John. Yeah,
yeah, and one of them came from Layla and Kim Bobs because they'd also written their names. And they'd drawn wings on theirs.
Ah, flying penis. Well, that could be the other thing on our poster. We'll see you on Wednesday for some Raw and SmackDown Go Home Show reviewing fun.
I'm going to go blow my nose. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.